WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. A potentially catastrophic hurricane is aiming for Jamaica.
Oh, the people outside, they don't know the danger of this.
Hurricane Melissa will make landfall in the coming hours. Meteorologist Zoe Mintz.
It's a Category 5. It has sustained winds of 175 miles an hour. In fact, there was hurricane hunters that tried to go through the wall of the eye wall early this morning.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cammie McCormick. A potentially catastrophic hurricane is aiming for Jamaica.
Oh, the people outside, they don't know the danger of this.
Hurricane Melissa will make landfall in the coming hours. Meteorologist Zoe Mintz.
It's a Category 5. It has sustained winds of 175 miles an hour. In fact, there was hurricane hunters that tried to go through the wall of the eye wall early this morning. They actually had to evacuate early because there was 200 plus mile an hour winds in the eye wall. And the storm system is now beginning to turn off to the north. It is likely going to be making a bullseye over Jamaica, then making its way over Cuba.
It could be the most devastating hurricane to ever hit Jamaica. With the government shutdown dragging on and with food benefits on the line for millions, governors like Tim Walz of Minnesota are making millions available for those in need.
It's day 27. Doesn't appear like there's real any sense of urgency out of the folks in D.C. As this continues to go on, it will become much more of a crisis.
CBS's Nicole Killian on Capitol Hill.
It does potentially stand to impact more than 40 million Americans. And in some cases, you know, states are having to potentially brace to either pick up the tab, or in some cases they're also telling some of these SNAP recipients to start identifying food banks within their area should they need additional food assistance.
Many federal workers will miss paychecks tomorrow, including air traffic controllers, and there were more flight delays today because of sick outs. President Trump revealed today he underwent an MRI at Walter Reed during his recent checkup. He didn't say why, but called the results perfect. A suspect in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk will be allowed to appear in court wearing street clothes, but must be physically restrained, according to the judge. Lawyers for Tyler Robinson argued images of him shackled and in jail clothing would prejudice potential jurors. Stacey Lynn reports some major layoffs are coming to Amazon.
Amazon is planning to cut as many as 30,000 corporate jobs beginning tomorrow. The cuts come as the company works to pare back and compensate for overhiring during the pandemic. The layoffs, which come on the brink of the holiday shopping season, will amount to the largest cuts to Amazon's corporate workforce in the company's history.
Acclaimed jazz drummer Jack DeJohnette has died. He was 83, once described his playing as elastic. He worked with everyone from Miles Davis to Herbie Hancock. He was the winner of two Grammy Awards. On Wall Street today, stocks finished higher, investors hopeful for a U.S.-China trade deal. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
CBS News Brief. Hurricane Melissa has ballooned into a dangerous storm as it turns toward Jamaica. Jamaican Prime Minister Andrew Holness.
Hour by hour, it is becoming apparent that the impact of Hurricane Melissa would be greater than Hurricane Beryl, certainly in terms of rainfall and flooding.
The Department of Agriculture on day 27 of the shutdown says the well has run dry and federal food aid, also known as SNAP, will not go out this Saturday. More than 40 million Americans rely on the benefits to help buy food. This man is a furloughed federal worker.
When you have kids and daycare and mortgages and all that, you know, banks aren't waiting around for you to get paid.
President Trump in Asia this week meets with Japan's newly elected first female leader shortly. And then, as Nancy Cordes reports,
he is going to be heading south of Tokyo to Yokosuka Air Force Base, which is home to the U.S. 7th Fleet, to deliver remarks.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A partly cloudy sky for tonight with lows in the mid-30s. And for tomorrow, a mostly cloudy day. Highs in the mid-50s. Might see a shower Tuesday night, then back into sunshine on Wednesday, highs again in the mid-50s, and dry through the rest of the work week. Right now it's 48.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is the Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Badgers, Matt LaPay.
We welcome you into the Greg Gard Show, our first program of this season as the Wisconsin Badgers getting ready for their second and final exhibition game. It'll be Wednesday night against the Platteville Pioneers, the Guarding Against Cancer game. Of course, Greg Gard is brother Jeff, a really good program down at Platteville. That'll be a 7 o'clock tip on Wednesday night, and then the season begins in 1 week, next Monday, against Campbell, the Fighting Camels, is what they're referred by as. They will come into town, and then it's Northern Illinois, and off we go as the games will start to come fast and furious. As we welcome in Badgers head coach Greg Gard, coming off the Friday night exhibition game. And I think, Coach, fans we're all kind of wrapping our minds around an exhibition game against a Power Four program like Oklahoma. Those who were there, and if you watched, listened, really entertaining, and maybe most importantly, really beneficial for you and your guys. I'm sure Porter Moser would say the same thing about his team.
Yeah, I think anytime you can get challenged, and obviously a lot of things exposed, you see outside competition, and especially this early, it accentuates learning, it expedites learning, and I think that's the biggest thing we took from this is we made a lot of mistakes, which is good. October 24th, we should be making a lot of mistakes, so now there's a lot to learn from it, and I wish we could do more of these, quite frankly, and I would continue to schedule, really difficult and put yourself in jeopardy of losing games. That's fine for exhibition games. It's the only way we're going to take big jumps forward is to really get our feet to the fire and fail, quite frankly, at times. And that's how you learn, and that's how you make your biggest jumps is going through it and learning what you didn't do well and how we have to get better.
Yeah, it seems like from a revenue standpoint, it makes more sense to have games like that. It might make more sense just to have more regular season games, but even if that happens, if you could get a couple of other Power Four exhibition games, if you can go from two to four, you got two, obviously the Platteville game coming up. It seems doable. I know things happen slowly sometimes, but if you can go to two to four, that would be...
Well, yeah, I don't know where the holdup is on it, what the resistance is. We do have a proposal from a national standpoint in of going to four. Whether it will get wings and fly, we'll see. But I think anytime we're practicing 30 of the 42 days anyway, so whether we practice for 28 and play for two, or practice for 26 and play for four, there's really, you're still doing something. It's not like your team has an extra day of load on them. You're practicing anyway. So I think that outside competition, specifically when you can get, like I said, high major games, those things, even the close scrimmages, I felt this game Friday night was more beneficial even than a close scrimmage, because you had more game pressure, you had a crowd, you had for the first time being on the court together, to have be thrown into that with a lot of new guys, thought was really good. It made us uncomfortable at times, which is good. We need to be uncomfortable. That's the only way we're going to grow here. But I wish we can't do anything about it now. We got to make the best of what we have here with Wednesday night's game and going forward. But there's a lot of benefit that came from Friday.
With the age that we're in, where revenue, which has always mattered, and you could argue more than ever, do you see it as a possibility, Gravy? Right now it's a 31-game season plus at least one conference tournament game, so 32 games. Do you see the day where this could go to 38 or 40 regular season games?
I hope I do. I think we need to go there for all kinds of reasons. I think, you know, players want to play. You know, the revenues, obviously that's the obvious one, and the climate we're in and where we're at, and, you know, nationally and all of college athletics. It's not just a college basketball thing. Revenue streams and revenue resources and different sources are vitally important. And I think it'd be good for the game. You could play, maybe you play more conference games. You get a chance to play more Power Four programs, more highlight, you know, profile games. I think there'd just be a lot of benefits that come from playing more games. Because again, you're not having any really more days off. You just turn around and play. I mean, they do it at every other sport has expanded, right? Major League Baseball has expanded. The NBA has added that midseason tournament, plus they've added more. The NFL has added week 17. They've added more to the wild card weekend. Everything is expanded, and that's another, you know, another topic for another day with NCAA tournament expansion. But I think if we really want to walk this forward and do what we say we want to do in terms of revenue and what is needed, quite frankly, to stay at the upper echelon of college basketball, we've got to continue to find unique ways to think outside the box. And I think expansion is an easy one that really you don't have to recreate or dream up anything. Just let's just do more of what players and fans want, more games.
Yeah, no, it's true, because I think there's the revenue in the arenas, and there's the inventory. People right. Like live sports is what that's the real deal, and what people tune into and will watch the commercials or hear the commercials, because it's live. You're not taping it, or you're not, it's not an episode of whatever on Netflix that's all dropping in one day. So no, it makes perfect sense. As much as we talk about the business of it, I always enjoy just watching your team practice, because at the end of the day, it's still basketball. They're still having fun. They're still learning things. And you guys seem like you have navigated the whole era of NIL and the portal, because the names change, the faces change. Some of them will only be here a year because it's their final year of eligibility. It seems like you guys have done a great job of getting guys who fit, who kind of get what you want done.
Yeah, I think that speaks volumes to the history and tradition of this program and the people that we have in it. And I would say that's former players, that's former staff members, that's current staff members, you know, that really have, you know, it's like an old starting lineup from days gone by in my coaching offices now. But I think that matters. They're invested deeper than the job title, deeper than what it says on their office door. And I think that matters. And that transcends, that bleeds into the players that come in. And they can see it, they hear it. You know, they've lived it. So there's an exceptional level of pride with our staff that what they are representing and how we want to continue to uphold the standards and what this place has always been. And when you have a player, like you mentioned, for 8 months, we had John Tanji for 8 months, but he loved the University of Wisconsin. This is his off-season home. And I think that really got expedited because of the connections with the staff and them really, like I said, being invested in this place, because it's that W means something to those guys.
That was one of the first things when I asked you about him about this time last year. John Tanji came in with questions, didn't have all the answers.
Right.
That's pretty good. I mean, you can find
it is.
Like that.
Yeah, it is. And I think that's, you know, that's why he's been able to go from, you know, being lightly to really not really recruited real hard out of high school to now being in the NBA. He's always had more questions than answers and has been on a quest to continually get better. And he'll have to continue to do that in Salt Lake and with the Jazz. And that served him well, that eagerness and that humble humility that he has and that thirst to get better.
You mentioned the staff, too, and Kirk Penny steps away. He's, you know, going back to New Zealand, although I guess he was there Friday night.
Yeah, he came back in. He's taking his U.S. citizenship test.
Okay.
I believe tomorrow, maybe, it might be. So he had to come back in to do that in person. And then, obviously, he was cleaning up some of the stuff that he had when he went back and what he has to take back with him to Auckland, I don't know. But the main reason was he's at the point where he can take a citizenship test. So he had postponed it once or canceled it due to a game a year or two ago. And those are hard appointments to get. So you don't want to pass up on the second one.
So he steps away, and then Brad Davison comes in. We're going to hear from him on the show, and it's like the plane just landed. And he's going to go out there and run scout team.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah. He literally, like, I talked to him about it on a Thursday. I made the official offer on a Friday after Kirk resigned. He played his last game Saturday, retired Sunday, packed Monday, flew Tuesday, was here on a Wednesday. So, yeah, there wasn't time to put his toes up and think about it. It was, yes, when you want me, I'll be there. He would have swam here if it would have been legal to swim across the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, which is so important. I got to think from the outside looking in, it's such a reason why you guys have sustained a level, because you have Stafford. This is where they want to be. It's a destined, they view it as a destination gig. And I remember talking with Brad his senior year, and I thought at the early in his senior year, he doesn't want to even want to play. He wants to go right into coaching. I think he's happy that he's kind of glad he kept scratching that itch.
Yeah, that was now one thing. I told him when he did this, and even when I talked to him the first time, I said, you know, a few weeks ago before we, made the offer to him, like, are you ready to be done? Has the itch been scratched? And he said, Coach, I've only wanted to play 3 to 5 years. Then I want to get into coaching right away. I know what my future is, and I'm in year four. So if there's an opportunity to make a move, I've scratched the itch long enough.
Yeah, so it's so great. Like I said, we'll hear from him, and I was always hoping I'd be around long enough to call him Coach Davison, and we are. He's here and hit the ground running, literally. We'll take a break. As I mentioned, we'll hear from Brad. We'll also hear from Nick Boyd. We'll get Coach's comments on one of the new additions to the program. We'll tell you, folks, first, support your team, win unforgettable prizes, and get stories only Badger Connect members see. Join today at BadgerConnect.com. More of the Greg Gard Show coming up on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Refresh your home today with window images, blinds, and shades. We have everything you need for updating your window treatments. We carry vinyl, aluminum, and faux wood blinds, cellular shades, and more. Plus, you can get them trimmed to width in-store for free. Also, be sure to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals happening this week.
Save big money at
Hey, Badger fans, it's college football season, and SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of Hail Marys and walk-on heroes. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the action this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. Let's go, Badgers! SeatGeek.
When it comes to women's sports, there's no place like UW. Our women set the standard for elite performance. From the volleyball court to the hockey rink, every set, spike, and score pushes the boundaries of what's possible. UW Health mirrors this dedication to greatness. Our extraordinary team of doctors combines revolutionary research with compassionate care, setting the benchmark for healthcare across the country. So for the best care and the best athletics, it's easy. UW all the way. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Everyone wins when we take care of the environment. GFL delivers affordable, sustainable waste handling solutions to keep customers green for life. Diverse services include commercial waste and recycling collection, roll-off dumpster rental, and more. Customizing options to meet your specific business needs. GFL is the total solution. A local, trusted service provider in solid waste collection, recycling, and disposal services. Providing you with safe, dependable, and efficient solid waste and recycling services. Green today. Green for life. GFL.
Quarterback Jordan Love isn't just on the Packers. He's also on the American Family Insurance team. Because like us, he believes in dreaming fearlessly.
Just chase your dreams and don't let nobody hold you back.
And we help protect those dreams with the right coverage so you can
dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
We'll be right back. We continue with the Greg Gard Show, the Badgers and the Pioneers, and we will talk about that because I think Coach Gard, Jeff, has a good team. They've lost some key pieces from a year ago, but that's a very, very good program. Also coming up, we'll hear from Brad Davison. We'll hear from Nick Boyd. Let's get Coach Gard's thoughts on Nick Boyd and some of the other newcomers, be they transfers or freshmen. But Nick Boyd comes in, I think fans realize right away he's got a little presence to him. He's been on those big stages before, right?
He has. And I think we noticed that right away when he came in June, just his voice, his leadership, but he backs it up. And I think that's one thing, too, how he plays, how he performs. He's extremely, extremely competitive every day. So that switch never goes off, which is good. And you want your point guard, your leader, to have that type of mentality and that type of voice. And he's continued to learn, too, because this is new for him. And I think Friday night was good for him in terms of things that we did well and things that we have to get better at. And, he was right there in the mix at Saturday talking about what he didn't do well and what he needed to get better at and what he saw, which versus what really was happening within a play. So, that's the neat part about Nick is that he wants to get better, but yet he has a chip on his shoulder and an edge to him that, as I've said, he's got the heart of a lion, mm-hmm. and he comes with, he's got a lot of electricity to him, a lot of juice. I mean, he comes with some speed and sometimes too much. I'd rather have it that way than have to, have to rev him up and wind him up. I don't have to worry about winding him up. It's just make sure he stays on the road and doesn't drive it in the ditch. So, but no, he'll take a jump and they all will just because of this first experience of going through Friday. And now we take the next step and try to get better.
Boy, the Nick Boyd, John Blackwell duo is really intriguing, and it was intentional. I would imagine you would pit them against each other whenever you can in practices.
Yeah, I think the two most alpha dog type personalities that we have, and typically, I mean, not that you can't have an alpha personality in a different position, but when you have ball handlers, point guards per se, that have that mentality, that pulls everybody with them and elevates everybody else around them. And I think both those guys, I think that's the synergy too that's got to come together, is those guys. And it was 10 in the rotation. I needed to play some guys more and some guys less just because I need to see and get guys experience that are going to be playing. But that synergy across the board is just going to take some time of more reps and more minutes together.
We'll talk more about the other transfers as we move forward, but a couple of the freshmen. And let's start with the in-state kids with Will Garlock and Zach Kinzinger. You fancy Will, and they're going to say, ooh, he looks a little different for a freshman big physically. Tell us about those guys.
I think, Will's come in, and I think, for number one, it's the first time he's been healthy for the better part of the whole summer and fall. So it's given him a chance to really sink his teeth in, develop more. I think Coach Steams has done a really good job of trying to bring him along and help him. And, he's dove into the weight room plan and process through the summer. He's added weight, he's added good mass, but when you got somebody that big, 7'1", 250, 260, that can run like he can, and that's a heck of a weapon. And I think you look at where he is now in late October, big guys always develop at a little different pace, and I think the more we can get him experience, meaning minutes on the floor, I think that you're going to watch his growth and development accelerate even more. So where he is today in late October versus where he can be in another month, another 60 days, another 90 days, I think is the vision that the staff has of how we can help bring him along. Because if he can continue to take jumps, it can be a heck of a piece for us in our front line down the road.
And Zach Kinzinger, another guy who looks like he has liked the weight room for a little
while. He has, yeah, and a little bulldog. I mean, he is fearless, another extreme competitor, and I think the best thing for Zach right now is Nick Boyd. Just to tee off with him every single day and guard each other in the scout work. But, Zach he's extremely competitive too. And I like that about him. He wants to be on the floor. He wants to try to find a way. And he just got older, more experienced guys in front of him right now as it sits, here in, again, late October. It's early. It's extremely early. So he's one that, like to get him in the mix. He's going to have to pass some other guys, which, you know, like I said, we're at October, 27th? So we got a long ways to go. Who knows where he might be by November 7th. So
if you have a finished product right now, you're not sleeping at all.
I'm glad we have a lot of yeah. That's what I've told the team. I said, everybody's excited on the outside about what you are, what you guys are. I'm excited about what you are not. Meaning I see you have a long ways to go, which is exciting, meaning we're not hitting our head against the ceiling anytime soon. And that's and that should be the case. If you want to have a really, really good team, you better not be peaking out in October. We better not fire on all cylinders in October. We've got a long ways to go and collectively got to continue to make the efforts to get there.
It's interesting to see the growth of international basketball. I know we've talked about that before, but just, you know, where it was 30 years ago to where it is now. You get Hayden Jones and Alexis Bilyauskas. Austin Rapp is from Australia, but the two freshmen, is it too general to say that these guys are ahead of the curve in terms of maturity? Certainly basketball maturity ahead of the curve.
Absolutely. I think that's just due to their experience and the development. I got to put that with it because I think Australia, New Zealand, Europe are doing a better job with youth development than what we are here in the States. And it's shown. I think we've seen that in the World Cups and the Olympics and how other countries have taken a jump. And unless we throw our main NBA guys on a roster, we have a hard time with the other countries. So, and I think the other thing, you know, not only their experience and their development, but, you know, Hayden's played in a World Cup. Alexis has played in a Euro Cup. He's been away from home for 3 years already in terms of, you know, traveling and doing things with Lithuania and playing in different countries and bouncing around with Zalgiris, with the club he's with. So his exposure to different levels and higher levels of basketball, just like you know, Aussie has and what he's played in with Australia's national team, and the same thing Hayden's had with New Zealand's. It's just they're exposed to more. So it's like they've seen more Friday nights than what we went through Friday than what a Will Garlock or a Zach Kinziger has seen. It's just a different level. They've been exposed to more at a younger age.
Couple of minutes left. I want to talk about Platteville here a little bit. It's the Guarding Against Cancer game here at the Kohl Center on Wednesday night. Jeff Gard, I know they lost some key pieces from a year ago, but consistently good. That's the Pioneers program, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think he's adjusted and adapted his style of play too. You know, you watch, I watch some of his red or orange and blue game from Saturday night. You know, a red and white, orange and blue game, and you know he's embraced the three. He's embraced a little more fluidity in transition, a little more free flowing than maybe he was 10 years ago. And I think we've talked about that. You know, one on one, just how he's seen the same thing we've seen, just how the game has changed, and you're a little more apt to put value in offense. Not that defense isn't important, but just how the game has changed and the rules. We've added another rule now with the continuation step, so that's going to put more and ones and three-point play opportunities on the board or on the table for us to go after. So he's done a really good job of maintaining the culture and maintaining the great tradition that is there, and at the same time been able to evolve and stay ahead of the curve and really has had a stranglehold on that league the last 4 or 5 years. I think they've won it 4 of the last 5, and you just got to get over that hump and make that run to the Final Four.
Yeah, they get gut punched, right?
They do. They've had some I don't want to call it bad luck, but just that you get to the tournament. It's another, regardless of level, you see that happen time and time again all over. It just stings a little more when it happens to you.
Yeah, every game's game seven when you get that's how it works in college basketball. We will take a break. Coming up, we will hear from special assistant to the head coach, one of the all-time great Badgers as well, Brad Davison, and we'll check in with Nick Boyd as well. All coming up as our first installment of the season of the Greg Gard Show continues in just a couple of minutes on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here are a list of upcoming events in the central Wisconsin area on Friday, October 31st. The Vesper Volunteer Fire Department is hosting a brat fry from 4 to 7:30 p.m., and the Vesper Recreation Committee will have games and treats from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. in the community center. The Beer and Fire Department will have trucks at the park from 5 to 7 p.m., and firefighters will hand out candy. Trunk or treat at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, 3 until 6 p.m., with candy and food trucks. Don't forget to wear your costume. Followed by the Heartbeats Dance at the Elks Lodge from 6 p.m. until midnight. Trick or treat at McMillan Library, 4 to 5:30 p.m. Come in costumes, get treats at the service desks, and be sure to stop at the all-purpose room for a treat and to have your picture taken at the photo booth. Wisconsin Rapids Haunted Walkthrough event at the Wisconsin Rapids Police Department from 3 to 5 p.m. This free, spooky, family-friendly event is open to the community, offering a safe and fun way for kids and families to collect candy. Wishing you a safe and happy Halloween from WFHR and WIRI.
My name is Ariel. When I arrived in the U.S. at 19, I struggled to find job opportunities without my high school diploma. My entire life changed when I took a chance and got my high school diploma at age 22. Everything I have, my education, my career, my marriage, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and my teachers. They were with me every step of the way, helping with my English and math, making sure I push through all the challenges.
Ariel, your success proves that what I'm doing as a teacher has real meaning.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me.
Education was the key that unlocked all my opportunities.
When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
.org/Abbott.
We continue with the Greg Gard Show as the Badgers get ready for their second and final preseason tune-up on Wednesday night against Platteville. We turn our attention to a member of Coach Gard's staff, Brad Davison. Coach Davison, special assistant to the head coach. Of course, he takes over after Kirk Penny stepped away from the program to return to his homeland of New Zealand. To say the least, Brad had an amazing career at Wisconsin, a part of two Big Ten championship teams, second team all-conference in his final year as a Badger. Played 3 years overseas in Spain and in Lithuania. And lo and behold, the opportunity opened up for him to come back home to the University of Wisconsin. We asked him how it all came about.
But definitely came at us fast. So we were in Alicante, Spain. And when I say we, my wife and our new baby daughter, 11-month-old Maya, we were in Alicante, Spain, preparing for year four overseas. So I was preparing to play. My wife was preparing to play. She was getting back into it after taking the year off to have our daughter. I got a call from Coach Gard on Thursday about how this could potentially be an opportunity Didn't think too much of it at the time. And then on Friday, told me that it was going to be an opportunity. A, are you interested? B, is it possible? I said, well, Coach, A, this is the dream. We would love to come back. B, I have my first game tomorrow. I got a place here in Spain, and I'm under contract. So there's some things that we need to figure out. And he said, all right, figure it out, and we'll talk tomorrow. So the next day, we talked again. I played in my game. Sunday, I called my teammates, called the president, called the head coach, told them about our family's decision. Monday, went in person and got the chance to say our goodbyes and our thank yous and to have those tough conversations, but also really good moments with the people that we really, really cherish in Alicante. And Tuesday packed up, Wednesday caught a flight, Thursday we're here at practice. Boom, 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 all within a week.
And right on the practice floor. They didn't, it wasn't like you eased into the deal, did you?
No, no. I got hit by Coach Crabb with a pad. I took a charge. I had to pick up Nick Boyd full court all within the first 10 minutes. Again, not exactly what I thought I signed up for, but there's nowhere else I'd rather be.
How was it playing overseas?
Loved it. Loved it. For me, it was I've always wanted to get into college coaching. So to be a professional basketball player, it was never in my hopes or my dreams. But when the opportunity came, I just got married to my wife, Tyra, the summer after my super senior year. And, you know, we had the decision. She was coaching at Milwaukee at the time. I had some NBA opportunities in terms of E10 contracts. And when it all came down, you know, we made the decision is we wanted to spend our first year of marriage together, living in the same house, doing life together. We didn't want to do distance anymore. So we said, you know what, we're going to take a leap of faith. We're both going to play. We're going to find a place where we can both play, compete, play at a high level. And so we found ourselves in Lithuania. And then we went from Lithuania to Spain for 3 years, and that's kind of our overseas story. And it was nothing that we ever dreamed we would do, but looking back on it, so grateful for it, for the relationships that we developed from people all over the world, different backgrounds, beliefs, values, different playing styles, just a super cool opportunity. And then you just learn a whole new way to play basketball. I think I had the Wisconsin blueprint down after my 5 years here, but really expanded my knowledge and opened my mind to new ways to compete, new ways to attack offensively and defensively. So many reasons to be thankful for it, especially for the basketball side, the people side, and then also just the quality time that I got with my wife over there and now with my wife and daughter, memories that we'll always have. So super, super thankful for our time over there.
You mentioned styles of play. It's changing here a little bit the last few years. Give us your thoughts on it's obviously it's a little more pace, shoot a lot of threes. Seems like a pretty fun style.
It's fun to watch. Again, I was just saying I need to go find some more eligibility because, man, if I could have taken some more three-pointers, we would have some fun. Man, it's fun to watch. It's fun to be in the gym. There's so much talent in the gym, experience, talent, size, speed. And then just with the coaches, Coach Gard and the rest of the staff's willingness to adapt to not only the college game, but now the players that they have in their locker room, it was awesome to see as a fan. It's even better to see now as a coach. And as a player, I think I would have really enjoyed it. But it's awesome. It's awesome to see. And you hear Coach Gard say things like, run, push the pace, shoot it. These are all things I didn't necessarily always hear when I was here. But it's awesome. So thankful to be a part of it and can't wait to see these guys compete against a different jersey.
I was talking to a couple of the newcomers about the culture here, and culture is a word that's used a lot, if it's here or anywhere else. I don't know if there's a better person to ask this question than you, How would you define the Wisconsin basketball culture?
The Wisconsin basketball culture is founded on relationships. It's founded on a desire to play for and to serve and to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And I think that didn't just start when I was here. That's something that I came into and something that we tried to kind of continue to carry that torch. And now as you get into this new wave of college athletics and college basketball with the transfer portal and all these different things going on, if you can find a way to maintain your culture and keep it about people and value relationships, player to player, player to coach, coach to coach, all things considered, you set yourself up in a really good place. And so really proud to be a part of a place that holds culture at the utmost standard. And again, that starts with people and valuing those relationships.
And it seems like it's going to be as important, if not more than ever now. I mean, you're part of two Big Ten championship teams, so I would think, and there's everybody goes through ups and downs. There's always going to be some kind of turbulence, and you guys were able to navigate through that. Am I overstating it to say that that kind of thing is more important than ever now, the ability to, even if someone's only going to be here 1 year, make it a year to remember?
Most importantly, the standard is the standard, and that's the goal when you come to the University of Wisconsin, is to compete for Big Ten championships. And, you know, wins and losses are great. Everyone's going to have highs and lows. We had our own fair share of highs and lows during my time here. But the things that you remember are the people and the things that hold you together in the midst of sometimes that roller coaster ride is the quality of your relationships. Can you trust the person next to you? Do you respect your coach? Do you respect your teammates? Do you have others' best interests in mind? Are you willing to serve your teammates? All those things, it's the glue that keeps you together. Mm-hmm. And in this world, in this new college basketball world, but also when I was there, everyone had their own highs and lows. It's more important now than ever.
It's kind of a fanboy question here, but you were a part of a lot of big-time moments here. We remember the, you know, Chucky's bank shot here, and there were a lot of other moments. Is there one that on the floor moment that stands out to you more than the others?
The fact that that's a tough question means we had a lot of good
a lot
moments
of
here.
Options.
Yeah, that's a lot of. I'm going to go. We have so many great memories here in the Kohl Center. You mentioned the one Purdue winning the Big Ten championship. My freshman year, sophomore year, we had court storms here, beating top five teams, Purdue that's and right. Michigan. We had some buzzer beaters and some tough, all those. But the one that stands out to me actually was on the road at Assembly Hall my junior year. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the season got cut short, so we don't have the storybook ending. But the ending that we did get to finish on the court is we were losing at the end of the game, kind of stormed back, took over at the end, and everyone on the team was involved in this comeback. And there was just so much pent-up emotion. And you talk about the highs and lows of sport, even going back to the off season with Coach Moore and his situation, all the way through the season of all sorts of different things that we dealt with. Then to have that moment, celebrating on someone else's floor, winning a Big Ten championship, and then coming together in the locker room, traveling back on the plane, coming back to fans, just that whole experience. You talk about culture, talk about why you come to Wisconsin. And I think about that game more than others, more than anything else.
Kind of glad you said that, because that's what comes to my mind. And of a Badger fan of a certain age, remember that winning at Indiana didn't happen there or here. And to be able to win a Big Ten championship in Bloomington is something that I think for every Badger, certainly for fans, but for guys who played in the uniform, That was extra, extra sweet. And I know, like, you and Micah and that whole group, there were a lot of big-time shots that were made in that game. But, yeah, I was glad you said that, because the whole thing was surreal, because we didn't know, like, you're going to be able to play another game after this. But as the story goes, though, you guys were declared the national champs. You know, they did
this. This is so true. I woke up with 50 messages, couldn't go on any social media. I was like, what just happened overnight? Am I dreaming? It's like, yeah, you won the national championship. Congrats. I don't know if that made me feel better or worse. That verdict's still out.
Yeah, it was kind of a bittersweet ending, but, man, it was awfully magical winning a Big Ten championship at Assembly Hall in Bloomington, one of two Big Ten titles in Brad's playing career, and now you figure a long and successful coaching career is in front of him. And that is Brad Davison, special assistant to the head coach. Stay with us. We'll turn our attention to the lead guard, Nick Boyd, as we continue with the Coach Guard Show on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Everyone wins when we take care of the environment. GFL delivers affordable, sustainable waste handling solutions to keep customers green for life. Diverse services include commercial waste and recycling collection, roll-off dumpster rental, and more. Customizing options to meet your specific business needs. GFL is the total solution. A local, trusted service provider in solid waste collection, recycling, and disposal services. Providing you with safe, dependable, and efficient solid waste and recycling services. Green today. Green for life. GFL.
Hey, Badger fans, it's college football season, and SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of Hail Marys and walk-on heroes. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets, so you can be a part of all the action this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin football games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. Let's go, Badgers! SeatGeek.
To be a Badger, it takes dedication, perseverance, and an unstoppable drive for excellence. Our team at UW Health Sports Medicine is no different. We bring the same fierce Badger spirit to every surgery, therapy, and training, working tirelessly to keep Wisconsin's athletes at the top of their game. Whether it's nailing the game-winning shot or delivering top-tier care, UW Madison and UW Health are a dream team committed to achieving greatness. Together, we don't just deliver, we dominate. UW Health. Remarkable.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners, making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win. Ho-Chunk Gaming
Madison. Quarterback Jordan Love isn't just on the Packers. He's also on the American Family Insurance team. Because like us, he believes in dreaming fearlessly.
Just chase your dreams and don't let nobody hold you back.
And we help protect those dreams with the right coverage so you can
dream fearlessly.
American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Without a doubt, there is a lot of intrigue with this Wisconsin basketball team. Nine newcomers, some very gifted transfers, including Nick Boyd. We've talked about it. Badger fans probably well aware. This is an intriguing backcourt combo of Boyd along with Badgers junior John Blackwell. Nick Boyd has been part of a Final Four team at Florida Atlantic, played at San Diego State last year, and now brings his talents to Madison. He's actually has a little bit of a Midwest experience. He's from the East Coast, but then had 1 year of post-high school prep at Bosco Institute in Merrillville, Indiana. So now he comes back to the Midwest. We asked him about his transition from San Diego to Madison, Wisconsin.
It's been good. Interesting, to say the least. Obviously, you know, contrast in places. So it's been good, but I started my high school career on the East Coast, then finished up in the Midwest and ended up good. So I'm doing the same here with my college career, and I'm hoping on a great year for the team and myself. And but overall, it's just been good to meet new people, and they've been taking me in like family.
We talked about the big stages, you know, the Final Four run, and I know you get asked about that a lot, but it's probably good to be asked about that a lot. Yeah. What was that like for you, the road to the Final Four and then actually getting there?
It was crazy. Just the road, like you said, the road to the Final Four, it was different. Just a team that was bought in to what Coach was saying. You know, that was the biggest difference. I feel like all my years in college, that year in particular, everyone listened to what Coach said, was focused on the scouting report, and then just wanted to compete. You know, and then we had a bunch of guys who could dribble, pass, and shoot. So it was a crazy journey, but I'm itching to get back, and I think we got a chance to do something special with this group.
Yeah, it's an interesting path because you went from one Final Four team to another. Yeah. So Coach May, Dusty May, and then Coach Dutcher, Brian Dutcher.
Yeah.
What kind of things do you learn from those two really well-respected coaches that helps you now?
Yeah, I mean, man,
I was just with Coach Dutch, so just to speak for him, just his attitude towards the game and how he's so composed, he's so poised, never too high, never too low. I really appreciated that approach from him, especially as a player. When you see your coach, you know, just reinstilling that confidence in you, it's awesome, and it gives you the energy and the juices to go out there and play your best ball. So just his approach, just his type of swag and his poise. And then obviously Coach May, he taught me a lot. I mean, coming in as a freshman under him, just the details of the game and, you know, how detailed he is, how much love for the game he has, whether it's watching film to the crack of dawn or just being in the gym with the guys, very hands-on. So he just instilled work ethic in me, and I learned a lot from him from that.
Apparently, he said at Media Days, Big Ten Media Days, he's obviously the coach at Michigan now, but he's a big Badger fan, with the exception of when they, but obviously there was a really good relationship that developed between you two, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was my – man, I went through a lot of highs and lows with him. I broke my foot. He was right there for me. I remember I was scared to death to tell him that I wanted to sit out, and it was just a decision I made, but I had to come to terms with it and just sit in his office. And I seen the interview. Like you said, we had a bunch of good talks in his office just talking about what's next, the team, and how we could be better.
It was really interesting. One of the first times I watched you guys in the summer, somebody on the staff came up and said, take a look at this. The bigs better be ready because there's going to be a fastball whistling. And I swear, not 2 minutes after that, you buzz a fastball into one of the bigs. So everybody loves to score it, shoot it, all that stuff. You're good with distributing it too, right?
I mean, that's my game since I was younger, just throwing crazy passes, playing in the park. So, I feel like I've been underrated in terms of that aspect, but I'm going to show that for sure this year.
Was there a pro player, or other college players, anybody whose game you really admired? I mean, you have to be Nick Boyd.
Yeah, no doubt.
But were there some other guys like, I like this?
Yeah, so that's a great question. When I was younger, I loved Trae Young, just how crafty he was with the ball screen, even now in the NBA, on the way he could reject screens, throw the alley-oop off the screen, bounce passes, no looks. And then when I was younger, I was shorter, so I had to love a shooter, and my uncle was a coach at Seton Hall, so I fell in love with Miles Powell's game, mm-hmm. who was just a knockdown shooter, go get you a bucket. So I feel like I fall more in the Trae Young coming off pick and rolls and stuff, but I like to keep my jump shot ready too.
And we see a lot of ball screens here.
Yes, sir.
Give us this your view of this offense and why it's what you've already kind of answered that, but let you expound on it, why this is a great fit for you.
Man, just the pace you play at, it's just like, I mean, when you have a bunch of good players on the court, I mean, we got five guys who'll be on the court at all times that are dangerous. And an offense like this is kind of like pick your poison for the defense. We get them shifted, we get them moving, and then, I mean, on top of that, playing up that at that pace up and down, it's going to be a lot for defenses to stop. I mean, we get you in transition. You stop us in transition. Maybe I'll come up a ball screen. Don't got it. JB might come up a ball screen now. He don't got it. Andrew Rohde could come up a ball screen now. And then if one of us just touches the paint and you guys overhelp, we got Nolan, Austin Rapp to knock it down, Jack Janicki to knock it down. So the list goes on, so it's dangerous.
You mentioned JB, John Blackwell. Part of what makes watching your practice is so entertaining, and this again goes back to the summer, is that you and JB are going to be a really good that's a great tandem, I think. But in practice, it's a little one-on-one. Like, you guys, it's really competitive going against each other, right?
I mean, you speak about that Final Four run, just the iron sharpens iron in those practices. I mean, you come into those practices, it looked like we didn't like each other. So just to get that feel back has been awesome. Obviously, JB, great player. We're going to be leaning on him a lot for him to make big shots, big plays for us. So he's one of the better players in the conference, and I get to test my game against him every single day. So I just take that opportunity and do what I can with it.
Andrew Rohde has talked about in visiting with him about how the guys, the returning guys, have really done a great job of taking everybody in. I imagine it's the same. JB is one of those guys, obviously, Janicki, Nolan, Winter. Did they all, like, reach out and make you feel as welcome as possible right away when you came to campus?
Yeah, I mean, no doubt. I mean, I was in touch with JB throughout my process. He was just giving me encouraging words. I was asking him questions just to try to get a feel of the coaching staff and what it could look like. But, yeah, everybody has done a great job. I mean, we hang out off the court a lot, whether it's team dinners, going to somebody's apartment on the weekend just to kick our feet up and relax. So that's kind of been one of the better parts for me. And, you know, being from New York and traveling all over the country, to be in a new place and have, you know, guys I can kind of call my brothers now after this summer and the fall, has been awesome.
You've seen a lot. Obviously, what you've mentioned, hanging out with guys, is anything outside, any spots, anything about Madison? You've got a favorite spot, place you like to go to unwind a little bit?
I like to do Taco Tuesday at Luchador.
There you go.
On State Street is pretty cool. get some tacos and stuff like that with the team. We usually do that. Another place I like is Cento, the Italian place. So, mm-hmm. Those kind of my two favorites. But other than that, I'd be tired at practice, so I just DoorDash. Go get it at my door and go back to lay down. So, but those two spots in particular, we definitely wind down at Luchador on Tuesdays with the team and have a nice team dinner.
Well, I know your last stop, there were a lot. The food seems pretty good. A lot of things are really good about San Diego. It's pretty good here, though. I think it's a little underrated. You got some good options here, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was caught by surprise even on my visit when I came here to just see the city-like feel, and I would thought it was going to be like, you know, cornfields and tumbleweeds, but just to see the city atmosphere, it kind of, you know, draw me off rip. So,
your thoughts on playing in the Big Ten, going to all the different arenas? Yeah. How excited are you for that?
I mean, that's kind of, other than coming here, that was kind of the selling point. Playing a conference like this, the competition, like you said, the arenas, the atmosphere, the history, and then of course, you know, get to play my former coach. So
right.
those things lined up for me, and that's kind of really why I wanted to be here.
And that's Badgers guard Nick Boyd. Stay with us. More to come as we continue with the Greg Gard Show on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes. Although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business. Well, Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But WalletHub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s. And CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
As the year winds down, it's time for a financial tune-up. Here are some steps to consider. If you're 73 or older, you'll need to take required minimum distributions from traditional retirement accounts to avoid a 25% penalty on any amount you should have withdrawn but didn't. And if you're still working, consider ramping up your pre-tax retirement contributions. Not only will this help your future self, but it might reduce your current tax bill. Now is a good time to review your investments. Did they perform as expected? Do they still match your goals? You may need to rebalance. One more thing. If you've had major life changes like marriage, divorce, or a new baby, review the beneficiary designations on all bank and brokerage accounts. These often override what's written in your will. Taking care of these and other financial tasks now can help you start the new year on solid ground.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones Financial Advisor at 715-421-0958.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by The Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
ASC.jobs.
Our thanks to head coach Greg Gard, as well as Brad Davison and Nick Boyd for joining us here on our first installment of the Greg Gard Show this season. Basketball season has arrived. Exhibition game with the Platteville Pioneers at 7 o'clock. Our coverage will begin at 6:30 as Brian Butch joins us again his third year behind the mic with us on the Badger Radio Network. He and Chris Foster is with a great call of the game last Friday in Milwaukee as the Badgers in Oklahoma went right down to the wire. And then the season begins 1 week from tonight, next Monday, as Wisconsin will welcome Campbell into the Kohl Center. And then a week from Friday, the Badgers have game number two against Northern Illinois. So here we go. A lot of anticipation for the Badger basketball team this season. And the season begins very, very soon. Talk to you next week on the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
You've been listening to The Greg Gard Show, brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the official ticketing partner of the Wisconsin Badgers. Find tickets to Badger games and more. SeatGeek. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
Sorry, kids, can't find a spot for this latest masterpiece you've got. You scribble and sketch so many things. Our fridge is an amateur gallery hanging on the fridge. Hanging on the fridge.
Hanging on the fridge.
Hanging on the fridge.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Long lines at food stores in Jamaica and people have been busy covering windows with plywood as Hurricane Melissa moves toward Jamaica.
The line that you have to wait on to get things, it's very hard. So everybody just gives up and do what they have to do for themselves.
It's expected to be the most powerful storm ever to hit the island. CBS's Jason Allen in Kingston.
Melissa's outer bands have begun lashing Jamaica with winds up to 175 miles per hour and sheets of heavy rain. The storm is moving at a sluggish 3 miles per hour, with catastrophic impact expected to drop more than 30 inches of rain on the island.
Melissa is expected to make landfall on the island tomorrow and cross southeastern Cuba and the Bahamas through Wednesday. While you usually see the World Central Kitchen helping those in need following natural disasters or overseas in Gaza and Ukraine, the organization is helping furloughed federal workers.